Warning, the following program contains open expression that some may find offensive. Language is used freely under the direct authority of the Constitution of the United States of America.
This podcast is a member of the Detroit Podcasters Network.
Detroit Podcasters Network.
Coming at you from I-94 and I-75. Representing the ongoing struggle to realize the Renaissance in Detroit, you have found the Olin. Allow me to introduce the big baby P.
I need a drink.
The front woman of the pills, Miss Danny Catastrophe.
What up, bitches?
The engineer, D. Sway. And for me, myself, and the all-seeing eye, Magnanimous. And now, Oled Ezra.
What's up, internet in the beautiful yet broke city of Detroit, Michigan? You're listening to the 88th. Installment of the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's underground talk revolution.
Hey, Danny, why is 88 better than 69?
I don't know, Big Baby P.
Because you get 8 twice.
Hoo-ha! Ha-ha! Ooh, clever.
It is better than 69.
He'll be here all week.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
At least Although, until the end of the day.
I can only really remember the last 10 or so. So, 88 don't count for me.
Make sure to check us out, MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, online, theolinezrashow.com, and call the never comment popular The never popular comment line at 313-254-4260, which I have something to say about that in a little bit. But yeah, 88 times, and this time, everybody in the booth is sober, and I don't know if that's going to work for us or against us. You're just going to have to listen and find out.
It's very strange.
It is.
I'm like overly alert.
I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm on caffeine. It's still a drug.
It still is, but not...
Sipping on some... Mineral water.
Water.
Ethanos.
Swacked out on the minerals, yo.
I was yelled at for last week's show. Apparently, the alpaca.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was yelled at by several people for not being able to pronounce alpaca because I was calling it Ocapoco.
Apparently, we have alpaca experts running around out there.
All of a sudden, man, yeah, we start talking about alpacas of the alpaca.
They come out the woodwork.
Right. May 7th. There's going to be plenty of love to be made at the Rack and Roll downriver with not only the pills, but also B-Dab, Robots in the Garden, and the wonderfully eccentric Avarice.
So pumped.
May 7th is going to be crazy. Pat is he's not only going to be looking like the Gimp from Pulp Fiction, but...
Fuck, no, I'm not.
It's going to be a great time. It's all going to be streamed if you can't make it. It's only going to be $6... 4 great bands, going to be a hell of a night. We're going to leave a mess.
It's just another one of those shows that's just got a really good kind of feeling towards it. You know, like how the last show that we did, there was just like an excitement behind it. I've missed being sexually harassed every Sunday.
Good. Beautiful. I feel like I'm backed up over here. How about you back it up over here?
What do you mean backed up, buddy?
I'm full of it.
You know what I'm saying? So why don't you back it up and get full of it?
If you feel a little leakage down your leg.
You're full of something for sure, buddy. Steve, what's that in your hand?
Beer of the week.
I believe we're looking at the Duvel. And Duvel, by the way, 1871, this Belgian company goes back to. This is a Belgian golden ale. A bottle conditioned. Don't know what it means, but you sold me on it.
Right.
Well, does it mean that the bottle looks like a fancy butt plug?
Not gonna lie, it looks like a Kong dong of some sort. It's some kind of odd sex toy. However, I mean, this Belgian favorite, by the way, best enjoyed chilled with discerning friends or good-looking strangers.
Good look. Now, does the beer itself make the strangers good looking?
Or do you yes, have per usual.
8.5 ABV usually does that, right?
8.5 alcohol by volume. Now, that's all good. It tastes good. It's a Belgian white ale, so similar to Blue Moon, minus like Blue Moon's coriander and orange like feel to it. You know what? Here's the thing about this. It's a four pack. It's a four pack of 11-ounce bottles for about $13.
Oh, my God. You like, might be better off just buying a butt plug instead.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm and yet, like, I just, you can't get over losing that extra ounce, you know?
Wow.
But I finish it, and I'm like, I could have one more ounce left. But
yeah, there's like a whole other sip in there.
Yeah. But however, if you want to just give it a try, I would highly recommend it. Duvel is out there with like the Chimay's, you know, like those tall bottles of Chimay, which are also very expensive. There's another 4-pack of these I'm going to get to as soon as I save up $13.
But that's tough.
Literally a white ale. Pour these in a glass. You'll see. It's very good. It's good if you can find them anywhere. Check them out. They're a little difficult to find.
Buscemi's always, I'm sure, has,
that's where I got that,
has, yeah, a full stock of Duvel.
D-U-V-E-L.
It almost sounds better than me. Danny, you have a douchebag this week.
It's the douchebag, it's Danny's dirty douchebag of the week.
Douchebag.
Well, I don't know exactly the names of these people. They haven't been released yet, but the douchebags, plural, this week are a group of friends of a 59-year-old chef from China. His name was Lee Ki Woof.
Lee Ki Woof.
Oh, no.
did you hear about this?
No.
Wait, hold on. Lee Ki Woof?
Lee Ki Woof.
Woof.
Lee Ki Woof.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like something wrong. All right. Mm-hmm.
Too close related to dogs, but
sounds like a dog with a venereal disease.
Yeah, my wolf is feeling kind of leaky. I don't know what's wrong with it. All right.
So he, Lee Ki Woof, got really hammered and passed out with his friends, and they thought it would be a fun little joke to put a foot long Asian swamp eel up his ass.
Why a swamp?
Puts a whole new meaning on swamp ass.
You know,
doesn't it?
When I mess around with my drunk, passed out friends, the right. First thing that hits my mind
is a swamp eel.
Where can I get a swamp eel?
So then his friends eventually passed out too. When they woke up, Leaky was dead because I can barely even bring myself to say this because the eel had devoured his bowels.
Oh my fucking god.
Well, he was having leaky woofs after that one. Jesus Christ.
So, okay, like, whatever happened to, like, people drawing dicks on your face or, like, the occasional teabag episode? Like, now people are putting foot-long sea creatures. How does that even happen? Like, one person holds your butt open and someone else, like, guides the...
They use a funnel? I don't understand.
How drunk are you to let something a foot long get up in there?
And so it started eating his colon.
Yes.
Oh my fucking god.
Isn't that fucking disgusting?
Wow.
That's like also, I don't know if you guys heard this, was a while ago, but there was these two Canadian dudes, just two of them. So one of them passed out and the other one put a fire extinguisher up his ass and
oh, I
let
heard
it
about
go.
That.
And
yeah.
It like burned all of his internal organs. So he survived, but he has to be on, like, I don't know, life support or something for the rest of his life.
All right, now these people were drunk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Steve is a fine connoisseur of beers, and I could never see Steve in this position. However, I'll admit to it sometimes, I get way too out of control when I get drunk. Big Baby P ends up dressed up in random things that we can find laying around.
Yeah, but eel up the anus passed out? That's a whole another level.
What would possess you to put an eel up? those crazy Asians, yes. At it again.
Do you see what you've done, frat boys? Made it globally.
This is a 60-year-old man, too. It's not like they're like 18.
It's all that damn hentai, all that little cartoon porn they got, all the tentacles and shit. That's what it is.
That's the weirdest thing.
I love the fishes. I blame Chris Masters for this.
I love the fishes.com.
Speaking of Chris Masters, coming soon to the OE show near you in a couple of weeks here. But
new project?
Woot.
Yeah, something interesting that he's working on. But eels, man. It's weird to see the... I guess the chronological order of this. About, 10 years ago, I start seeing people beer-bonging beer up their ass.
Sure.
And I guess that got them super fucked up at crazy frat parties.
Can do the same thing with marijuana tea, too. You make a THC just brew.
Why would you give yourself...
THC enema?
Why would you give yourself a beer enema in the first place? Wouldn't that feel bad?
The buzz you receive is worth the badness.
you say this with an air of...
experience.
Right.
All right. You know when a dog is taking a duke and it's all hunched over? Isn't that how the beer would make you react? You're just kind of walking around hunched over for the rest of the night because you just poured a 40 in your asshole? I don't know.
It does not.
So then it goes to fish. And eventually, I guess people got bored with fish and shooting fish out of their asshole. So now they've just taken it to the next step, which is eels.
How would you not wake up? Or maybe he did thing was like eating. Ugh.
Anyway, comments. We had one caller this week, and it was Ryan B. that gave us one of the best hip-hop trivia questions that we have ever had.
Kind of wish I could hear this.
I'm letting Steve down. He's all depressed. Pat's depressed because it has to do locally with the Insane Clown Posse, and no one is going to get it. No one's going to get it. It's a great question, but...
Tell me off air.
We still have last week's question, Ryan B's hip-hop trivia. What Beastie Boys song was in the movie Crush Groove?
What were the Beastie Boys performing?
That's right.
During Crush Groove, that scene, which, like I said, believe I got it.
Yeah. Call in 313-254-4260.
Operators are standing by.
Except they're really not. But that was kind of clever, Dylan. Nice. I like
System
that.
Machine.
But why am I going to pay? Why am I going to pay to have this great number, 313-254-4260?
Operators are standing by.
Why am I paying to have this line? Why is Ryan wasting his time with hip-hop trivia? Why is Danny sitting at the edge of her seat every week wondering what you retards say if you don't give us anything? At least play hip-hop trivia. We have a prize to give you. I'm just going to cancel the comment line. Every time I have to bitch and piss and moan and squawk like a little girl about you guys calling the comment line. It's the only way to get you guys to call. Hello? Just call it. Tell me that you're constipated and that calling the comment line didn't help at all. Something. I don't know anything. We do actually have Crackjaw in the studio today. We're going to get to them in a little bit, but I figure we're going to pass the microphone over to the big baby P. Ness.
Part of the reason I'm so goddamn tired right now is because I stayed up all damn night watching Money Mayweather proceed to put the smack a roo. The knuckle shuffle, if you will, upon his opponent, Shitty Shane Mosley.
Wrap your head around that. Anyway, so what do you guys say we switch gears a little bit and listen to some Crackjaw?
Sounds great.
Let's do it.
Then we'll bring Dave into the booth, ask him a couple questions, and real quick, before we get into this track, they are confirmed along with the Pills, Crackjaw, Lithium, Forest Wade, August 21st at Simon's. Downriver, the Olin Ezra Show, 2-year anniversary party. So you know it's whatever you've heard about May 7th, you're going to have to come and check it out and just to get a preview of what's going to happen at the show's August 21st.
And Simon's is about 1/5, probably smaller, of the size of Rack and Roll.
Yeah, it's a little bit smaller. It's going to be a little bit more crowded than usual, but that's good. That's what we want.
It's great, but definitely you're going to want to get to this one
early.
Earlier.
There will be a line at this one. It's going to be good effing at times. So anyway, let's get into a track. The band's called Crackjaw.
The traffic
Yeah. Dave from Crack Jaw.
Oh, yeah, man. That's the stuff right there.
Hot shit, bro.
You hear that shit?
Nice.
I have
hot stuff.
No Heart, the name of the track. So, Dave, you have No Heart.
It's true. The band doesn't have it. We don't have shit going on. We're just a bunch of heartless suckers. That's it.
That's really how you make calculated business decisions, actually.
You have no heart, yeah. Just get rid of all the morals and all that and just go with it.
All the emotion and everything like that. The only member we have in the booth with us right now is Dave, so...
And the drummer, too. I mean, the most boring guy in the band.
Oh.
I'm just joking around.
The drummer's always the mysterious one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, usually, like, for interviews and stuff like that, drummer's never going to be the guy here.
You never know. Singer. Sometimes they're not, though. They're always, like, the mystery. The loose cannon.
Right.
Let me tell you about the drummer of Bad on Fire that... came in the booth this one time, and
no.
I think his shirt was off about after 2 minutes of being in the booth.
So I gotta ask, because you guys have seriously probably the most badass band pictures that I've ever seen.
Thank you.
I don't know if you guys got a chance to check them out at all, but they're not standing in the stairwell trying to look tough. They're not in front of the railroad tracks.
Are they like in a ball pit?
They're in a butcher shop of some sort, covered in blood, with like various slabs of meat.
Real
all
pieces of
them.
Meat, real cow tongues in our hands.
Where
yeah.
was that at?
That was over at the Eastern Market, actually. And we lined it up, and we went in the butcher room or whatever, and lined it up with the guy there, and he said it was cool. And then, like, as we're taking these pictures, like, people are wondering why, like, these four white dudes are sitting there next to their meat getting, like, pictures taken, you know? Like, they're trying to order, like, ribs and brisket and stuff, and we're, like, getting photo snaps. So, like, they're all staring, you know, right at us, so it's kind of awkward, but it was fun.
Did you have to pay
for the slabs of meat that you used?
Actually, they gave them to us.
Wow.
They were just like, yeah, take them.
And I'm going to go down there and say that I'm...
We cooked them shits up later on. It's good.
That's what we got to do, man, because I haven't had, like, real meat in a very long time.
Say actually, you're in a band.
Like, yeah, we'd like to do a photo shoot here, man.
Well, at first we thought it was not going to happen, you know, because like sanitation and all that stuff. But the guy was really cool, and we just kind of went in there, froze our asses off in that cooler for a little while. But
who shot your photos?
Actually, she sounds bad to say, but I don't even know her name.
Oh.
She was a student.
That's right.
She was a student that went to CCS, I believe, and then she was foreign.
You guys hired someone to do it?
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes like we'll get somebody that's like pro or whatever. We used to deal with a guy like out of Lansing, but now it's just like. It's better for us just to find, like, people that are learning that are good at it. It saves us money, and it gives them experience, and, you know, we can meet in the middle, and it works out nice.
She did a really good job.
That's a pretty sweet fucking concepts to put in that, to put in their bio, too.
Well, that's a whole part of an artistic community coming up together, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, for that whole picture thing, we weren't, like, really thinking, like, trying to be, like, all scary and stuff. We kind of wanted to just go with the theme of what we thought the CD should be, and, you know, basically, it just got to the point where... We just wanted to do something like original, you know. Like we kind of took like that American Psycho, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, kind of thing, and just like went with that, you know, the whole meat deal, and just kind of worked out.
So, what was the theme of the CD then?
Just that big fucking piece of steak that you see. That's the theme. I mean, we wanted to like just put the title on it. We didn't want to like you know dice it up with all these like fancy like cool long titles and stuff like that. Like we miss records like you know Aerosmith big ones and stuff like that. Real simple, like you see the design, you see it, it's more what the music is. It's not really what's supposed to be on the cover. So lean cuts, we kind of considered the songs like lean pieces of meat, you know, cut them out, record them, and...
You're going to totally draw a bunch of horrorcore fans.
Oh, well, whatever. Fans are fans, I guess,
cover
right?
alone.
And we do love Juggalos, so if any Juggalos want to be fans of ours, we accept them with open arms.
Crack Jaw is down. With the clown. Attention, George Vlahakis.
Are any of your fans refer to themselves as crackheads?
Yeah, we've joked about it before. Yeah, for sure. We've called them that, joking around, but we don't know if they call themselves that, you know? We don't want to assume
know if
that.
It's condescending.
Yeah, or crack whores.
What's
or, you know,
crack
whatever.
Kids?
Our whatever. Little crackheads.
Yeah. Fucking little crackheads.
I hate these fucking crackheads.
No, we've joked about it, but I mean, shit. If they want to call themselves that, then so be it.
So crack jaw, the name. What's that stem from?
Man, it's a long story. Basically, when this all went down, I was in the band. Like Crack Jaw's been going on since '99, so this is like a culmination. You know, it's been going on for a real long time. Basically, what happened was when the band was starting off, there was a guy that used to hang out, and he had a speech impediment. And they used to call him. Slack jaw or like crap mouth or blah blah blah. So when they started jamming, they just, you know, whatever, figured out a name. And obviously, crap jaw was not going to work. So they just kind of like, you know, morphed it into Crackjaw, and it just stuck.
And it stuck.
And it just stuck, you know. Like, we got to the point where we thought about changing our name and shit like that, but you can't do that. No. You get 4 or 5 years into something, and you try to change your name.
It's actually a pretty cool name, I think.
There really is. It's memorable. It's easy, yeah. You know.
There really is nothing like harassing people with speech impediments.
So I saw in you guys' MySpace that you went to Europe. Was that for real?
Yeah, yeah. We toured there for about 3 weeks, went over there and toured with a band called Agents of Man from New Jersey, like guys from Sworn Enemy. You know, some hardcore stuff or whatever. Went over there for about 3 weeks, and it's an experience, you know. It's
where, like, in Europe did you go?
We went to Belgium, France, Luxembourg, a part of Spain, Holland, you know.
Wow. I mean,
yeah, we got to
just
do it.
Just took trains around everywhere? No, we actually had
like a Mercedes-Benz, like Sprinter van, you know. So not like, you know, not like a bus and shit, but like...
I thought you were going to say
amp it up a
Mercedes Benz and then you put Sprinter on it.
So. Oh, yeah, it's not as cool. Yeah, shit. Well, our gear wouldn't fit in there. But yeah, it was fresh. I
How
mean,
close did you
like,
come?
People want to go there for vacation, you know, but people don't really get it. Like, you get to go over there as a rock band. It's a lot different.
Right. So was that like a self-funded tour then?
No, that actually was provided through our label. Like, we were signed to Ice Cream Records for a while, which was a label out of Belgium and LA. And they mostly dealt with like hardcore bands, and we were like that first band that they kind of fucked with that. We would write some songs, you know, whatever. And we invested a lot of time into them. Likewise, you know, had a good run. And just, you know, shit kind of fell apart. It got to the point where, you know, legal shit, you know, mm-hmm. the nightmare, the typical stuff that right. you always hear. So mm-hmm. we kind of just axed it, and that was it, you know. But when we had that thing going on, it did a lot of good for us, you know. Did a lot of touring here in the States and, then, you know, also over in Europe still.
Well,
it's part of the road, you know, so we're not going to bitch about it.
How is the draw out at the venues in Europe?
It's not even comparable. It's like over there, they're funded by the venues are funded by the country. So the people that work there are getting paid to be there. Like, the country funds their art program.
Nice.
So all these venues and shit are maintained properly. So you come there from the States, like, you're doing something right. And they take care of it, you know.
See,
people want to see bands. They're not jaded. They don't come there to smoke cigarettes and socialize and drink. They when they come to a rock
stay
venue,
they're in judgment.
Yeah, when they come to a rock venue in Europe, they're there to see rock bands, and they're all about it.
See, which is exactly the opposite. America's cutting arts programs.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
it's going the exact opposite.
Well, that's more along the lines of the sanitation of, you know, like you always say, of culture and things like that. What you know, for a lot of the Detroit bands that listen into this show, man, what would you say would have been the best perk about going to Europe?
Just organization, you know. Like, we've had that over here in the States, but we also know what it's like to book our own tours at first too. So, like, over there, organization was just the best thing. We go there, this is when we arrive. Our riders filled, you know, I'm not talking about fucking green M&Ms and, like, naked pictures of B. Arthur or anything like that. I'm, you know, but, you know,
never
like,
heard that one before.
You know, nice. Like,
7 different poses.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, we get our, you know, our Jack Daniels and our fucking, you know, bread and our, you know, our special little snacks and stuff like that. It was just really cool to see, like, a tour manager that gave a shit. Like, you know, one time they didn't bring us a bottle of whiskey. And we weren't trying to, like, make a big sweat over it or whatever. And the tour manager, you know, like, that's his job or whatever. And he straight muscled this guy. And this guy, like, got on a bike, rode to the store. 20 minutes later, came back with Jack Daniels. Like, I don't know how the fuck he did it, but.
Wow.
Fucking
he's
tour.
He's like, you get my band whiskey.
Tour support. Whoever heard of that?
Yeah, I know. See, here in the States, I mean, good fucking luck unless you're really doing it, you know.
Did you guys gain a lot of fans over there to this day?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, positive 100%. You know, we'd love to go back. It just, you know, with the label and all that, it just we're taking a new approach. You know,
any crazy stories from out there? Like, anything just really fucked up happened one night?
What was her name?
Oh, there's some shit going on. Well, my buddy D Rock. We took him. He was he was like our assistant, like, kind of help us out and shit too. And he, like, lined up a chick before we even got there on the internet. So when we got there, he had this chick, like, all over him. And basically he rode with her the whole time. Like, she paid for the train rides, blah, blah, blah. And she got us a fucking bottle of absinthe from Prague. And we drank it that night.
The real shit, huh?
Yeah, the real shit, yeah. And
real wormwood age.
Things got weird because basically, like, we ended up, like, taking these two because out in Europe, like in Holland, they just ride bikes. So we took their bikes. We were going to go get some food and shit. Well, we go get some pizza and, like, leave our bikes outside, and we get, like, this bitch's fucking bike stolen. So then we're, like, in Europe. We can't even speak to this lady. She doesn't understand us. So we're, right. like, we're trying to find, you know, this bike. We're trying to find a guy who stole the bike. Finally, we find the guy that stole our bike.
No.
And we pin him in a corner. There's, like, four of us. We're, like, give us our fucking bike back. He's, like, I don't know. So he takes, like, this padlock, and he runs across the street. He cuts a lock, and he gives us a bike that was better than the one that was stolen.
Jesus.
So we're, like, all right, man, whatever. We'll just take it.
That is one considerate bike.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, we were serious. We were, like, you don't get it. You know, we're not even from here, and you're stealing somebody's shit that's not even ours. So basically what happens when we got back, we were, like, this chick will be amped that she got a better bike. So, like, I wake up.
But then someone's going to come looking for her.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, 3 weeks later, we were gone, so fuck it.
How close did you guys get to Amsterdam?
Very close, actually. Like, we were in Eindhoven, which is 25 miles from. It's the same thing. It's the same, you know, it's the red light district. It's all that.
Same offerings.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I didn't take advantage of it. But I know some people that did. But anyway, like, I woke up the next morning, and they had this big chalkboard, and she had wrote, Where's me feet? So we're like, what the fuck is that? Well, I find out that where's my bike? Like, what the fuck? Where's my bike at? So she's like freaking out, and we tried to like be cool with her, but she wasn't happy about it. So we're like, well, I guess that's your new bike anyway.
It must have been something happening with that old bike since the thief had to steal you a new bike and wanted to keep the old one.
I don't know what it is. It was the weirdest shit, but it was really wild. And then like about 2 days after that, I met a guy in Belgium or Brussels or whatever, and he was taking ecstasy like candy. He was all by himself, like this 50-year-old guy, and I don't know. He was a nice guy, so I was just chatting it up with him. And
AKA my hero. Go
ahead. Yeah, pretty much. Well, basically, what happened was he was married. He was from Oslo, Norway, and he was married, and he went home from work, and he went to his apartment or whatever, and his fucking wife was boning some fucking stallion or some shit, and the guy stood up and was like, get out of here. I'm fucking your wife. Get out of here. And he just shut the door on him and his own place.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, so this guy just like said, fuck everything. And he took like 14 pills. He's like, you want them? I was like, I'm all good.
Whoa.
But he was sweating his ass off, but he was the coolest man ever. He was real cool. He was having a lot of fun. He's like, I've been married for 30 years. He's like, no, I'm just trying to have a great time. And that's exactly what he was doing. Wow. Just getting all tripped out.
I hope when I'm that man's age and I come home and find my wife boning some other dude and I get my door slammed in my face, man, then I can have that good of an
ecstasy
attitude about
time.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a real good attitude about it. But.
Yeah, my wife's a whore, but you know what? That's why I have all these purple Pikachus.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Nice. I felt bad for him, but he didn't feel bad for himself. So,
where are you guys, what kind of recording like technology you working with? You doing this stuff yourself or?
The last CD we just did, we did that at our guitar player's house. Actually, he's recording Forrest Wade right now as we speak. That's why he couldn't be here tonight. But basically what he uses, like Nuendo. It's like,
oh, shit, huh?
Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not the craziest program, but with what we're working with, it produces pretty good sound. Like, we went to a place called Spiders for our first release, and down in Cleveland. That was, you know, that's an HD studio, blah, blah, blah. And it was great and all that, but it just, you know, $14,000-$15,000. It just doesn't make sense when you're trying to cut corners. You're not trying to cut corners, but you want to spend money in smarter spots, and that just wasn't it for us.
As well as whatever is available, it's just how you use it as opposed to exactly what it is. But
of course,
Nuendo's, I think, very user-friendly program. Mm-hmm. It's sort of an offshoot of Pro Tools. But I mean, I still know people using Cubase at least in one part of their operation, but they're using it well, you know?
It
depends.
It's all in the ear and how you're, like, tweaking the buttons.
What you're shooting for, sure.
So are you guys in the studio right now?
We just put the CD out, and we're recording a cover CD. It'll be out probably, hopefully, in June. Yeah.
What kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Shit, everything from Paula Abdul to Alice in Chains. We're doing, like, Damn That River, and we're doing, we're trying to, like, dig
a
little deeper.
Tell me you're doing Straight Up.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we're doing that. We're doing Refuse, Rather Be Dead. You know, we're just trying to dig a little deeper, you know.
You got any live dates coming up other than the one we were talking about on the August 21st?
Yeah, we got a gig at the Rack and Roll on the 15th. It's free. It's with Forrest Wade. The last time we played there, we played with Ashes of Soma, and they charged like $16 at the door, which is ridiculous. Which is ridiculous. So
right.
We decided for this time, since it's our show, that we'll do it for free, and then people can come and just have you know, fun and spend more money on drinks than...
Right. That May 15th show is a solid lineup, though. It's mm-hmm. you guys and Fall Prey's in that show, too.
Yeah, Fall Prey, yeah. Forrest Wade, a band called the Hand-Me-Downs that I play with sometimes inside.
The Hand-Me-Downs, the older, they go back a little ways?
No, they've been around for about 3 or 4 years. They're like a punk band, like straight up. Yeah. Like,
Dave, thank you so much, man,
thank
for
you.
Taking some time,
thanks,
kicking it with
thanks
us.
Thanks a lot.
Having a good time. We got one more segment left. You want to stick around, kick
sure,
it with us
do
through
it.
The segment? All right, Steve, what do you got this week, sir?
Well, I know you kind of want to talk at least a little bit about the oil thing going on down there.
Oh, what a mess.
But, yeah.
What a mess.
I don't really know what to say about that, I guess. It's one of them things you chalk up to big business and accident.
That's what it is big business, because mm-hmm. when it happened, I think it was the 20th.
They've been lying the whole
they've
time.
They've been lying about it the entire
time.
Fucking time, dude. It's dumping a ton of oil into the Gulf Coast. And this whole time, this is what makes me sick about the entire thing. This whole time, while this thing's flaming and spewing oil in 87 different directions, here's Barack Obama. Well, looks like we're getting ready to... expand our offshore drilling. It's like, look, you douchebag, why don't you fix the fucking problem mm-hmm. you started in the first place? You know, that entire Gulf area, that the oil seeping into the
that
water.
That shit's a nightmare, too. It just ruins everything
dude,
for a long ass time.
And it washed up directly between two, over and all over the coast, including two national wildlife refuges.
Right.
And it's like,
go figure,
it couldn't have hit anything worse.
Look, let me tell you guys something.
Shut down the shrimping industry. Mm-hmm. Crabbing is done this whole year.
Yeah, in that area.
That's what they survive on down there.
There is nothing sadder than seeing a little baby seal, a little fluffy seal that's just coated in oil.
I'll give it to you.
It just doesn't seem to give. And I'm sorry, guys, this little orange... What inflatable thing? I was watching the news, and these guys in the Coast Guard are laying out this orange, like, floating thing that's supposed to catch the oil. What a joke.
What? That doesn't do shit.
No. You might as well just take a shop
what
vac.
What do they say?
Notion.
Oil and water don't mix, right? Yeah. So, well, we're fucked.
Just
it's
run
never going to get cleaned up.
Run
it doesn't mix.
A bunch of Bounty the Quicker or fucking oil picker up. That's the, basically they're thinking on that.
It definitely over the course of the next.
But you're right. It's funny, like, I do watch the Colbert Show, Stephen Colbert Show, and he had a great bit on it, man. From the minute they started the press reports up until now, how the whole thing just built and how they so obviously lied. First, it was like, it's just a few hundred gallon spill, no big deal, we can catch it. Like, okay, wait a minute. Sure, there's all right, yes, it's on fire. The oil rig is on fire. No big deal. We got it covered. Okay, it's listing and it's spewing oil from the ocean. Okay, it is doing that. Here's what we're going to do. You have an oil slick coming towards the south. So we're going to set it on fire, which now you got a wall of flames coming towards you. there's already, dude. And then
we'll just catch the rest in this nice little orange
tube.
Once again, yeah, their shrimping industry is over. It's attacking coral reef down there. So you're talking about that's just changed the whole land. Mm-hmm. That's an ecological fucking disaster.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
It really is.
And people try to downplay it, but it's a serious thing.
And he said, so what Obama also recently has done is dispersed National Guard. Yes, dispersed the National Guard and SWAT teams to surround these oil rigs. Now,
wait,
yes,
are they wasting
why?
A SWAT team?
Why? All right, good question.
Why?
Don't, again, giving the theorist plenty to run on with about there. When you talk about what he just sent out there, points to, guess what? Maybe some terrorist activity. They may be saying, okay, this
it's
is not just
shit.
A spill. Yeah, right.
Aha! Everybody that was on the station now needs an implantable RFID device that we can use to follow
or
you around.
Or national ID card to work.
You guys have seen that Zeitgeist
place.
Movie, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
everybody's seen
one
that
of the
shit.
Many, yeah.
They're all over the place.
I'd actually...
Yeah, they touch on so much.
I would recommend Esoteric Agenda above
that's
Zeitgeist
good.
Because I think it's a little bit more relevant and they don't... Thing with Zeitgeist is people, you know... A lot of people are religious.
Yeah.
So when you're telling, when Zeitgeist comes out in the
and
first segment,
it says that God is not real.
You're wrong. Yeah. You're wrong. The way you've thought for 35 years is wrong. Yeah. You're wrong. Sorry.
Everything you know is backwards.
I see what he was trying to do. I kind of wish that they had either saved that for the end of the film or just maybe
you'd have been better off like
that.
Saying like God is actually a douchebag. Do you want to be believing in a douchebag? But
it all makes sense though. I've seen it. And like I don't usually get all hooked up on that type of stuff and get like all like I'm gonna do something. But when I watched that, I was like kind of pissed off. I was like, it made sense
entirely.
Yeah. It
preventable.
All made sense.
There's a lot in there to research too. Yeah. Should somebody want? But yeah, that's another thing is, speaking of this national ID card and or RFID.
RFID.
I've been wondering, what are they going to actually do with this big deal going on in Arizona and the whole, like, immigration, like, reform laws are dealing with? Here it is. Last Thursday, it's been presented. It's a Democratic bill they're working on voting on, is the biometric encryption and satellite tracking bill, which is a national ID card. So already, they're already sneaking it in New York. It's just been signed into law. If you get a new license in New York, as of today, it'll indicate that you are in compliance with the national ID program. So it's not that I think they're looking to vote on this. It's going to pass.
Oh, yeah. There's enough lobbyists in Washington to make any crooked corporate scheme
so
pass.
So like, quickly explain like what they mean by that. This is the recent Democratic proposal would require all workers in the U.S. to carry an ID card with biometric identifiers. Biometrics could be retinal scan, but definitely thumbprint, speech, and walking patterns, etc.
So any way to track you, pretty much.
And that's what it's really going to. Is like,
speech and walking patterns?
Yes, because everybody has a particular gait, way that they walk. Mm-hmm. So like through facial recognition software, they can also watch you walking in an airport and be like, okay, this is this guy, judged by his particular.
Yep.
Wow. Which is why in those areas it's better just to walk all crazy.
I'm thinking like Kevin Spacey in Usual Suspects. You know, at the very end, he like
contorts his. Yeah. So this particular the Senate Democratic leaders Thursday revealed that outline and put it up there for the national ID. See, the ACLU, of course, is freaking out. Not that I give a shit, like, credit towards the ACLU, but this is pretty serious business.
Yeah.
What they're pointing out is, by the way, how astronomically expensive this would be to an already, like, near-bankrupt nation and usher government directly to the very center of life's RFID, sure, that's just following you around. I mean, it's already going down in cell phones, but I can see how now, like, getting back to the immigration system may need some reform, but not at the expense of, like, your individual freedom. And, again, another one of these things is just used to be conspiracy theory. National ID cards? No, yeah. Nazi Germany had those.
Yeah. No, that's crazy.
That could never happen to us.
Papers, sir, let me see your papers. Yeah, that's exactly what they're
talking about. It's way back.
And
instead of tattooing your hand with a little barcode, they're just going to give
you a
little card to put in your wallet.
The thing is, when that shit happens, like, some people are going to go with it, but there's going to be a percentage of people that say, well, I'm not going to go with this, and it's basically going to create anarchy. And it's going
to
be pretty sweet when it happens.
Like you pointed out earlier, too, again, with like the whole religious connotation of some of this shit. By the way, remember we talked about this earlier? The biometric encryption and satellite tracking, biometric B, encryption E, and a satellite S, T, tracking. It's
beast.
Just called Beast.
let's not even try the mark of the beast.
Yeah, this is alive and well.
Dude, they're not even trying to, like, disguise what they're doing anymore. You know, it's like, what can we do to make this acronym Beast?
All right, what can we do? That's what it sounds like, right? And again, when I'm reading into this, I'm like, okay, now I fucking got to go to, like, the .gov sites and see if that's all true. It is. Yeah. It's right there. So this, I got to throw this guy into the fucking truck. Senator Dick Durbin of
Dick
Illinois.
Dick Durbin.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Durbin.
too close to Dick Turbin. This douchebag from Illinois who helped present this soul-crushing act said he thinks the public, and that's all we are really to them, consumer public, has become comfortable with the idea of a national ID card.
So how old is this fucker?
Yeah, he's another one of them fucking 60-year-old douchebags.
These guys are so out of touch, they don't know what the fuck.
Who the fuck
going
has he been talking to say the public is willing to accept total RFID control?
I was born just knowing that I was going to submit to the government at any point in time that I wanted to.
So this is according to what, like, they're trying to get pushed with this Democrat, with these assholes. But this guy says, like, we live in a vulnerable world where we already have to take our shoes off at airports and fumble for ID. Right. The biometric identification at airports, and they'll know your heart rate and your physiology,
if
right?
You get so nervous.
Like,
oh my God, that's
so. If someone's standing there,
scary.
Yeah, like, why is this guy's blood pressure going up?
Mm-hmm.
Sir, come here. Really talk to you. But they've done a great job at creating such an environment of fear. It's just one step closer to invasion and total control over, like, movements, freedoms, and the hearts and minds of the American people.
Crack jaw, Dave. Thank you for taking
some
time out.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks
for having me.
Talking some shit, talking some conspiracy, all that good shit. So, for myself, I am sober at the end of a show. Big sleepy pee.
I'm just waking up. Let's get this shit started.
He just got up.
The lovely Miss Danny Catastrophe.
I am also sober at the end of the show, and I am taking offers to make sure off. That doesn't happen next Sunday.
And L. Mag Nano.
I might be sober, but we're going to change that. Go watch some Wings. Chill the fuck out a little later.
All right. And so for Dave from Crack Jaw, our special guest, we're going to take you out to another Crack Jaw track. Dave, what's it called?
The Chill.
The Chill.
Chill.
Only on the Old Answer Show, Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution.